The Leslie Marshall Show, a true democracy in talk radio. Of, for, and by you, the people.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is not Leslie Marshall, as you've probably figured out by the sound of my voice. This is Mark Levine. Sorry, but I'm very honored and privileged to be with you this week while Leslie is on a well-deserved vacation. It is just a couple weeks toward right before Election Day, and we've got a lot to talk about. One of the things I want to talk about is some of the ways that the McCain-Palin campaign is trying to appeal to a very divisive America. Of course, we know that Governor Sarah Palin, is going around the country talking about the pro-America parts of the country. She is defending the fact that there is a real America, namely those places that support her, and the rest of us don't live in the real America. It's not just Sarah Palin. In my home state of Virginia, we have John McCain's brother and his campaign aide both saying that real Virginia is the place where John McCain has support and not the other parts of the state. It's very interesting to me because Barack Obama got his start in politics talking about the need to unite us. His famous 2004 speech before the Democratic National Convention talked about the fact that there are no clear red states and blue states. That yes, people coach Little League in the blue states, and yes, people have gay friends in the red states, that we are one United States of America. But John McCain losing right now in the polls, though, you know, things can change. It's still 2.5 weeks to the election. Actually, 2 weeks in tomorrow. Wow. But in those 2 weeks, John McCain is trying to turn it around. He's about 5 points behind in the polls. And so he's running the Karl Rove strategy. That appealing to fear and hate and divisiveness. And I want to know what you think about it. I want to know if you think it's fair, if you think that that is the right way to win an election. And just to give you an idea of the kinds of things that people are saying, well, let's go to Sarah Palin, the vice presidential nominee, and let's hear what she had to say at a recent rally.
We believe that the best of America is not all in Washington, D.C. We believe... We believe that the best of America is in these small towns that we get to visit and in these wonderful little pockets of what I call real America, being here with all of you, hardworking, very patriotic, pro-America areas of this great nation. This is where we find the kindness and the goodness and the courage of everyday Americans. Those who are running our factories and teaching our kids and growing our food and are fighting our wars for us, those who are protecting us in uniform, those who are protecting the virtues of freedom.
You got that?
And Gary Tech.
Okay, I mean, this, of course, courtesy CNN, this is Sarah Palin. And she's giving a speech that's been written for her. In fact, she even goes off the speech and goes on about, those growing food and so forth. But I want to know what you think about this. I mean, let's go through what she said. That the best of America is in small towns that we get to visit and in the wonderful little pockets of what she calls the real America. Now, I'm not knocking small towns. I got nothing against small towns. Small towns are real America. But are cities not real America? Are suburbs not real America? She talks about the fact that small towns are very patriotic, very pro-America areas. So I have to ask those of you that live in cities, those of you that live in suburbs, are you anti-American? Are you terrorists? I mean, after all, Sarah Palin has, the idea that Barack Obama is palling around with terrorists because he served on the same board as a guy who did horrific acts 40 years ago and turned himself in 30 years ago. So maybe it's not just Obama. Maybe all of us are terrorists. I don't know. But Palin seems to feel that we're not very American. She says in her speech, and I'm going to play it again for you so you hear her. I'm not just making this up. She says that this in these pro-America parts of the country, these small towns, this is where we find the kindness and the goodness and the courage of everyday Americans. Are Americans outside small towns unkind? I mean, people criticize New York City. Let me hear from you, New Yorkers. I know people call it an unkind city. People are rude, I guess. In every city, they're not good. She talks about the kindness and the goodness and the courage of everyday Americans. Are people outside of small towns unkind, ungood, lacking in courage? Are they not everyday Americans? Are they all, I don't know, the liberal elite? Running factories? I thought there were factories outside small towns. Teaching our kids, growing our food, fighting our wars. Are there no veterans outside small towns? Please understand, I'm not attacking small towns. But everyone knows that, let's face it, small towns are more likely to vote for Republicans these days than big cities. Well, that's true. Does that mean that Americans in big cities and Americans in suburbs are not good, are not kind, do not have veterans fighting and dying for Americans? The interesting thing about this speech is that this wasn't even her going off script. I mean, you could say, well, you know, Sarah Palin, she just reads what's written for her. And that's largely true. This is a woman, obviously, who has refused to give a single press conference, which is, I have to say, unprecedented in modern American history. Even Dan Quayle, a day after he was chosen, gave press conferences. Sarah Palin goes on Saturday Night Live, and they joke about the fact that she doesn't give real press conferences. Indeed, Tina Fey has given more press conferences than Sarah Palin. Joe the plumber, or perhaps I should say Sam the non-plumber. We'll talk about him later on. He has given more press conferences than Sarah Palin. So she reads what's written on her script. I understand. It's like a large parrot, as John Cleese called her from Monty Python. She's like a large parrot. She can parrot things. But that's the point. This isn't just or necessarily her views. This is the views of the McCain speechwriters, the Karl Rove speechwriters. And it's not just her. It's not just what she's reading. It's what John McCain is asking her to read. And it's also what McCain aides are saying. Let's talk about Nancy Pfotenhauer. You may have seen her. She comes on all the time. She's a senior McCain advisor. She's constantly talking on John McCain's behalf. And she was talking about the state of Virginia, my home state. I report out of Washington, D.C., but I live just across the river in Virginia. And she said, quote, as a proud resident of Oakton, Virginia, I can tell you that the Democrats have just come in from the District of Columbia and moved into Northern Virginia, unquote. So far, so true. There's no question that the suburbs of Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia are more Democratic than the rest of the state. That's true. But she goes on to say, and that's rarely what you see. That's really what you see there. But the rest of the state, real Virginia, if you will, I think will be very responsive to Senator McCain's message. What does it mean that Republicans believe that their supporters are real and supporters of Democrats are fake? Why can't we all be Americans? Why can't we agree to disagree? Some of us support Barack Obama. Some of us support John McCain. But aren't we all real Americans? Aren't we all pro-America? Is it true, as John McCain and Sarah Palin and all their advisors insist, that only the people in small towns, only Republicans are pro-American? Colin Powell, for example, who endorsed Barack Obama today, is he not pro-American? What's interesting is when Nancy Pfotenhauer said that about the real Virginia, the radio host that was interviewing her gave her a chance to back down. The host, Kevin Cork, asked Pfotenhauer if she wanted to retract the comment. And she said, well, she said, I mean real Virginia because Northern Virginia is where I've always been. But real Virginia I take to be the part of the state that is more southern in nature, if you will. Northern Virginia is really Metro D.C. So real America is southern. Isn't that ironic? The part of America that tried to secede 150 years ago, the part where I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, that's real America. And those that supported the Union are not? New York, Pennsylvania, All those people that died at Gettysburg, they're not real Americans. Do they really believe this? I mean, maybe you think this is all just a slip of the tongue, but John McCain's brother, Joe, said of Northern Virginia, Arlington, Alexandria, that they were communist country. And then he called the remark a joke. And maybe it is all a joke. I'm going to play for you, again, what Sarah Palin had to say. Maybe it's all just a joke, but she didn't sound like she was joking to me. Indeed, it sounded to me like Palin was saying what a lot of conservatives believe. That if you don't support their particular agenda, you are not a real American. You are not pro-American. And the fascinating thing to me is the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. Democrats never challenge Republicans' patriotism. Barack Obama became famous in 2004 because he talked about the fact that we are not just red and blue states, that we are purple states, that we are red areas and blue states and blue areas and red states, that yes, there are proud Democrats in Idaho and Texas and Utah, and there are proud Republicans in Massachusetts and Rhode Island and even, yes, the District of Columbia. It can happen. In fact, Barack Obama, believe it or not, is even airing ads in the state of Utah. Now, if Barack Obama wins the state of Utah, wins it in the presidential election, I guarantee you he has won a unanimous vote because Utah will be the very, very last state to support Barack Obama. But he's running in Utah and running ads in Utah because he wants to be president of the entire United States. And that, to me, is the main difference right now between McCain and Obama. McCain is running to be the president of the right wing, the president of the far right only. Obama is running to be the president of the United States of America. I want to know if you agree with me. Am I taking this too far? You think I'm taking this too far? The toll-free number is 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Is Palin right? Are only small town people pro-America? Let me know what you think. We'll be right back after this.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of truth. The Leslie Marshall Show, 888-6-LESLIE.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-801-6378. 1-800-801-6378. Call now. 1-800-801-6378. 1-800-801-6378.
And now for the bonus round. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. What does a pear prevent?
Hard feelings.
Correct. If you multiply...
the square root of 19.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
I know. Over 1 billion.
Correct.
Yes.
Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose your movies online and have DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial and get unlimited movie rentals. Netflix. See terms of use.
Who's always there for you? Your mum? Maybe, yeah, but sometimes she's a bit chatty with you. Oi, when are you going to get a girlfriend business? Now, GEICO, they're always there for you. They have been for over 70 years. They insure over 8 million policyholders, and their customer satisfaction is at 97%. With GEICO service, no wonder it's the third largest automobile insurance company. Your mum might cook better, but everything else, it's a very close call.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Jimmy Schmidt, age 8, playing the piano. About the time this was recorded, Jimmy started to change. He slowed down, became less active. He didn't want to play the piano anymore. Something was wrong. Jimmy had a disease. Doctors acted fast, but within months, Jimmy was paralyzed, unable to speak. no longer able to play the piano. That was 10 years ago. If Jimmy had been screened for his disease at birth, he could have received treatment and his life might be radically different. Early detection is critical. Today, Jimmy's story is repeating itself all across our country because we don't test every child in every state for the same treatable diseases. This has to end. Be Jimmy's voice. Visit huntershope.org. Our children deserve universal newborn screening. Every child, every time, everywhere.
Your Money Matters, the hit radio show of the year, airs every Sunday night at 8 p.m. on KB 1520. Author of The Positive Money Mindset, Mark Perlman is your host for an entertaining hour of discussion that affects the everyday lives of people just like you. If it has anything to do with money, you will hear about it on this show. Mark interviews leading experts from all over the country. Miss a show? Visit YourMoneyMattersRadio.com for archived shows 24/7. Everyday finance for everyday people because your money matters.
40 years after the opening of the original Birchfield Penny Arts Center, the new Birchfield Penny Arts Center at Buffalo State College is celebrating its grand opening on November 22nd. This is the first new museum building constructed in Buffalo in over a century, and you can be part of it. Become a new Birchfield member and receive free unlimited admissions, exclusive members programs, and discounts in the museum store. And you are invited to attend the exclusive members preview party on November 21st. Be a part of history. Join the Birchfield Penny Arts Center today. Learn more at yournewbirchfieldpenny.com, opening November 22nd.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall, and I am pro-American. I am patriotic, and guess what? I live just across the river from Washington, D.C. Does that make me un-American? Do Americans that serve in government, are they un-American? Well, Sarah Palin and the John McCain campaign seems to think so. Now, I would never call people in small towns un-American. I would never insinuate in any way, shape, or form that people from Alaska are un-American. But listen to what Sarah Palin says. She says, we believe that the best of America is not...
Here she is. The best of America is not all in Washington, D.C. We believe... We believe that the best of America is in these small towns that we get to visit and in these wonderful little pockets of what I call real America, being here with all of you, hardworking, very patriotic, pro-America areas.
You got that? Hardworking, patriotic, pro-America areas. Now, I'm not disputing that people in small towns are hardworking and patriotic and pro-American. But you know what? I think people in suburbs, I think people in cities, I think people in the blue states are hardworking, patriotic, pro-Americans. I'm even going to go one step further as an ex-government employee myself. I used to work, yes, as a lawyer for Congress, which I guess makes me very much inside the beltway, that even, yes, most public servants working in Washington, D.C. are pro-American, patriotic, trying to do what's best for their country. But I want to hear what you think. Let's go to Mary in Buffalo. Mary, welcome to Leslie Marshall Show.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Hello.
Hi. I guess I just wanted to comment on the topic at hand, and I think that McCain and Palin are just really out of touch with what being an American is. And I have a good example. McCain recently...
Hey, Mary, turn your radio down, hon. You'll be able to hear us better.
Oh, sorry. McCain recently has been giving speeches where he refers to himself as a Teddy Roosevelt Republican, one of the greatest presidents of our time. But what I think he seems to forget is that Teddy Roosevelt was one of the first presidents over 100 years ago for national health care. He was a conservationist. You know, he was Mr. Antitrust. All of these things that McCain says that he is, being a Teddy Roosevelt Republican, but he's really not.
Everything you say, Mary, is correct. He was not only a conservationist and pro-environment, he was also pro-regulation. It is indeed due to Teddy Roosevelt that we have the Food and Drug Administration. Prior to Teddy Roosevelt, drug companies make whatever... they made whatever they could, and people just were sold snake oil, and they thought it was good drugs. He, in fact, was head of the Progressive Party. This Republican Party has come a long way from the days of Abraham Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt, and me, I'm sorry to hear it, but it's clear that John McCain is not a Teddy Roosevelt Republican. Very few of them are. Thanks for your call, Mary. I appreciate it. I really do. Let's go to Jay in Philadelphia. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. How are you this
evening? I'm good.
I'm just calling to have comments on this whole John McCain and Sarah Palin scam that they're running now. The irony of it is that Sarah Palin wasn't her husband part of the secessionist movement of Alaska?
He was. Her husband belongs for many years, I think about a decade, to the Alaskan Independence Party, whose founder has said that he hated the United States and he wanted Alaska to secede from the United States. Now, it's not clear to what extent Todd Palin shares those views because he won't give a press conference and neither will Sarah Palin. But I do know that Sarah Palin spoke just this year. This isn't old stuff. In 2008, I believe it was February, could have been March, but I know it was this year, she gave the welcoming address. She was the keynote speaker on video, giving the welcoming address to this Alaskan Independence Party, which is a very strange party. I mean, they talk about being, you know, pro-Alaska and anti-American. So if anyone is anti-American, it would seem to be this party and arguably the Palins, though, like I say, they don't seem to want to talk about it.
Right. Well, you know, Sarah Palin won't talk to anybody because they're scared to put her in front of the media anyway. And what I don't understand is that if they're scared to put her in front of the media, then how is it that she's going to be or potentially be a president of the United States? If she can't talk to the media, how can she handle our country? I don't understand that.
Well, you understand, Jay, should be controlled by all the people in the background, you see. All the Dick Cheneys and Karl Roves would tell her what to do, tell her what to think, and she would parrot it out, much as she did her speech at the Republican National Convention, which was very well received. But, you know, she didn't write it. She's, you know, like any actress, I guess, she can recite her lines. And that's what she does. But the really scary thing is, who is this person behind the lines and who are the people behind her? My point is larger than just Sarah Palin being inexperienced and all that. My point is, whoever is writing her lines is in the John McCain campaign. And what they're doing is telling her, divide and conquer. Divide America to red and blue states. And I don't think that's right for this country. Thanks for your call, Jay. If others want to join in, the toll-free number is 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Back after this.
Are you part of the 65% of Americans struggling to make the minimum monthly credit card payments? Do you know that 90% of that monthly payment goes to interest? Want to stop the payment merry-go-round?
Yes. Someone please help me with my credit card debt.
You can finally rest easy. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, call Debt Relief USA, 800-426-1084.
Debt Relief USA helped clean up my credit problem and save me tons of money in interest payments.
Debt Relief USA can get you debt-free in less than 36 months. Call the debt specialist, 800-426-1084. That's 800-426-1084 for Debt Relief USA.
Real psoriasis sufferers get real results from Dermarest.
The psoriasis on my knees, the itchiness can drive you crazy. I have tried everything. Dermarest is the best product I have ever used.
Dermarest psoriasis provides complete relief, removing scales, letting healthy skin grow. And now Dermarest is improved with a unique zinc complex that moisturizes and reduces redness. Feel your best and look your best with Dermarest.
Hello, Dermarest. Goodbye, psoriasis.
A new voice, a new choice, and 50,000 watts to back it up. The voice of the new majority, AM 1520, WWKB Buffalo. Alan Combs.
Hello.
Alan, is it true that Barack Obama is an Arab and trained in an al-Qaeda camp in the 90s?
I think didn't he cause 9/11?
Something like that.
Wasn't he in one of the planes?
Yeah, the one who hit the Pentagon.
Yeah,
he was hilarious.
Right. And didn't he work with Osama bin Laden?
Hear Alan Combs weeknights from 10 till 1 on a new voice, a new choice, AM 1520.
Fall is tree planting time in the Olmsted Parks. Help the Conservancy reforest the Olmsted system as part of their plan for the 21st century. Nearly 300 new trees will be planted in the Cazenovia, Delaware, Front, Martin Luther King Jr., Riverside, and South Parks on Saturday, November 1st and November 8th from 9 a.m. until noon. Volunteers age 15 or older can visit BuffaloOlmsteadParks.org or call the Conservancy at 838-1249 extension 15 for more details. Sponsored by Olmsted Relief, the City of Buffalo, and Entercom Radio.
If your credit card debt has gotten out of control, if you're over your head at monthly payments, here's one powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. You have the right to settle your credit card debt for a fraction of what you owe, allowing you to cut your debt up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. We're Consumer Debt Advocate, and we'd like to offer you a free consultation that will help you start eliminating credit card debt. For your free consultation that will set you free, call 1-800-983-5979. Don't ruin your credit by declaring bankruptcy. Settle your debt and move on with your life. During your free consultation, you'll find out what the credit card companies don't want you to know. For your free consultation that will help you settle your credit card debt for a fraction of what you owe, call today. The number is 1-800-983-5979. 1-800-983-5979.
How would you like to reduce your credit card debt by as much as 50% in as little as 12 to 36 months? If you have at least $10,000 in credit card debt, call for a free, no-obligation consultation from Acopia Consulting. Acopia Consulting is a professional debt negotiation firm. They work on your side to settle your debt for less than what you owe. They negotiate your credit card debt, department store debt, and medical bills down so you can enjoy a life free from the burden of collection calls and financial stress. Call for your free consultation. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. Credit card companies issue late fees, increase your interest rates, and use other tactics that can keep your balances high. Acopia Consulting negotiates your debt down. Find out how much you could save. Call now, 800-431-9202. 800-431-9202. 800-431-9202. That's 800-431-9202.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine. I'm filling in for Leslie Marshall all this week. I hope you will tune in all this week, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And let's talk about this election because it's only 2 weeks away. And I don't care whether you're from real America or fake America. Listen, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. Let me give you a little bit of a bio so you know who you're talking to. I was born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. Then I went to school in the liberal elite Northeast. Went to some liberal elite schools, too, that I guess make me un-American, places like Harvard and Yale. And then for the last few years, I've been working as a lawyer in Congress, working for the Democrats, I admit it. And then for the last 5 years after that, I've been on the radio. I have my own show called The Inside Scoop. So am I a real American? I'm not so sure. I mean, I left the red state, I left Tennessee, and I went to blue states. Now I'm back in Virginia, a red state, but in the blue area. Why is it that the Republicans are always trying to divide us? Why can't they respect all Americans? I mean, I look at what happened in 2004 when John Kerry, a true American hero, was swift-voted. I mean, this is the man who got, I don't remember how many Purple Hearts and Silver Crosses and Iron Crosses. I guess I should know that. I apologize for not knowing that. But here's a man who risked his life time and time again for his country. And he was accused of being close to a traitor. Now, John McCain also risked his life for his country. And I don't think you can find a single Democrat that's swift-voting him. I mean, John McCain, under torture, actually condemned his country, condemned the United States of America, and you know what? I don't blame him a bit, because I understand that when you're being tortured, you're forced to do things you don't want to do. That's why I, unlike John McCain, believe that we shouldn't torture others, because I don't think we get any real information out of it. But one thing you will not find is Democrats or the Obama campaign suggesting in any way, shape, or form that John McCain is not a patriotic American. Why is it that the Republicans have to attack all of us? All of us. Or at least those of us that support Barack Obama and suggest that we somehow don't love our country. Why do they have to do that? Ken, in Landsborough, Pennsylvania, what are your views?
Yeah. your last comment there, first of all, McCain's not for torture. He's actually against it.
Well, on the issue, just to be fair, let's just give the quick history here for listeners. Bush, of course, supported torture. McCain proffered a bill that was going to ban torture. Dick Cheney talked to him and got him to exempt the CIA from the bill. First, the Bush administration was against the bill, but when they had two-thirds in both houses, it was going to override the president's veto. That bill passed, and you're right. John McCain does not believe that people in the military should torture, but John McCain does believe that people in our CIA should torture, because there was a second torture bill that came, and that one would have banned the CIA from torturing, and John McCain was against that bill. So to be fair, John McCain supports some torture by some Americans, but not torture by other Americans.
Well, and as far as your comment, as far as Barack being all American or whatever, United States, so he advertises everywhere, that's more budgetary than anything. You got to look at it that way. Barack has basically an unlimited budget, whereas McCain doesn't. So
that's
he
true.
Kind of focuses on battleground. But anyway,
that's true. But he didn't. But he wouldn't have to do it. I mean, there's no putting an ad in Utah does absolutely nothing to help the Barack Obama campaign.
Right. But for him, it's like spending a dollar when you got $1 million in the bank.
That's true, but why do you think he's doing it, Ken? He's doing it not to help him. I think he's doing it because he recognizes that if he wins, he will need to unite the entire United States of America, and he wants even Utah, a very red state, to be included in the United States of America. And I just wish the Republicans would be as generous to blue staters as Obama is to red staters.
I fear the day if he gets elected, because if you think jobs leave this country now, wait to see what happens when the taxes go up on business. People can yell and cry all they want about, the guy making a lot of money, he should pay more. But, the guy making a lot of money not only spends his money, but he creates jobs. The first thing businesses do when they want to open up is look for tax breaks and cheap land. And they ship jobs overseas because our tax rates are too high.
You know, it's interesting, Ken. I'm going to do my whole last hour tonight, if you'll stay up late tonight, on this issue of who creates jobs. Who is the engine of the economy, the middle class or the wealthy? I happen to think it's the middle class. But let me just say this. In terms of taxes, Barack Obama would raise taxes on businesses that take jobs overseas and lower them on small businesses that keep jobs here. How is it that raising taxes on businesses that take jobs overseas leads to businesses taking jobs overseas? I don't get that, but maybe you can explain it to me.
Well, he said he's going to raise taxes on anybody that makes more than $250,000 a year.
That's true.
So basically,
he's specifically raising taxes on businesses that take jobs overseas. There's going to be a penalty for that.
It'll be like an extra penalty.
Right.
But my question is, somebody who's went to school, who's been, went ahead and worked their butt off to make something of themselves, they're going to get taxed more now than what they already do than the guy who didn't strive as hard.
Well, now, see, that's interesting, Ken. First of all, the rate increase will be the same as under the Clinton years, so I don't want you to think it's this huge amount. Basically, it goes up from 36% to 39% for every dollar above $250,000. So for $250,000 and below, that person pays the same rate as everybody else. And then for the marginal rates above that, if he gets $260,000, then he'd pay 3% higher on that extra $10,000. But I want to deal with the broader question, which you just said, because I think what you said, I got to say, Ken, is a bit insulting to other Americans. What I think you're saying is that a janitor and a school teacher and a firefighter and a police officers don't work as hard as those who go to school and make huge incomes. You said they don't strive as hard. Aren't there hardworking Americans that don't make $250,000 a year?
Hey, I am a police officer.
Okay. You make $250,000 a year, do you, Ken?
No, I don't. But I don't believe that the guy who went to school strived harder than I did and worked his way up through school to become a brain surgeon should have to pay more than I do. I don't think it's fair.
Why not? The brain surgeon is making a lot more than you are. The brain surgeon
can
afford to pay a little bit more than you are. And I got to say, Ken, I think you're not being very nice to yourself and your fellow men in blue. I don't know which kind of police officer you are, but I assume that you risk your life doing your job, and I salute you for it. And I think that folks like you deserve a tax cut just as much as, CEOs of oil companies. In fact, I think y'all deserve a tax cut even more than the super rich.
But that's my choice. If I wanted to, I could have become a brain surgeon.
I don't know that you could have. Maybe you could have, but the brain surgeon could have become a police officer too. But different people have different skills. Okay. Well, maybe the brain surgeon didn't want to put his life on the line. Maybe the brain surgeon wasn't as in good physical shape as you are. Maybe the brain surgeon was very intelligent and had different skills. All I'm saying is that all of us contribute to America. And to me, the idea that you give a tax cut to middle-class people is somehow an awful thing to do, and to, you know, end the Bush tax cuts for the super rich. I think that police officers, I don't understand. I got to say, Ken, and I got some people holding on, but I want to talk with you a little bit further. I don't understand why you yourself are sticking up for the brain surgeon, or in this case, you know, the CEOs of companies that have, you know, run this economy into the ground, the Wall Street people making hundreds of millions of dollars, and you won't stand up for yourself. I'll give you a specific example. Hedge fund managers, they don't make $250,000 a year. They make $250 million a year, many of them. And most all of them make more than $25 million a year. They are making out like bandits, and they're the ones who got our country in this huge economic mess. They pay less percentage of their taxes than their own secretaries, because they pay at the capital gains rate of 15% rather than at the, you know, income rate of 36%. I don't think that you can agree with John McCain that hedge fund managers should pay less of their income in taxes than waitresses and their secretaries, do you? You there, Ken? Oh, I lost him. I'm sorry. No, I want to look. I want to hear from people like Ken. Ken, to me, I got to say, kind of reminds me of Joe the Plumber. Joe the Plumber, of course, as you may know by now, is not really a plumber. He doesn't make $250,000 a year, but he was sticking up for those that did. Even though Joe the non-plumber, Samuel Joseph Wurzelbacher, even though he would do better under Obama than McCain, under his tax plan, he pretended to make more than $250,000 to make some kind of point to Obama. Why is that? Why are middle-class people reaching out and defending super-rich people? I got to tell you, you know, I have all the respect in the world for super-rich people. They can do well. They did well in the Clinton years. They can do well even without the Bush tax cuts that have led us to this huge deficit. I'm not knocking them. But why aren't people sticking up for themselves? Why aren't middle-class people sticking up for themselves? And why is it that there's this suggestion that those who do believe that middle-class Americans are Americans too, that somehow that's not pro-American? I don't understand, Sarah Palin. I don't. She says people in small town are pro-American. People in big cities are not. And yet her tax plan helps people mostly in big cities and hurts people in small towns. What's she, schizophrenic? I don't understand it. Maybe one of you does, and you can explain it to me. Let's go to Dan in West Seneca. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. You're terrific.
Thank you.
What a great angle, and you're certainly well-informed. Mr. McCain, I have respect for what he did for our country as a veteran and so forth.
As do I.
But he and Mrs. Palin, they've resorted to labels in things that have traditionally been scary to the American public, and they're not really addressing issues. I think the biggest reason Barack Obama's ahead in the polls is he is issue-oriented. He's saying this is what I believe would work and would benefit everybody in America. When you flip the coin and you talk about Sarah Palin, she was on World News Tonight at a rally, and she said now is not the time to experiment with socialism. Well, the notion of socialism to older Americans would be a scary thing, as communism would be scary, so on and so forth. And I was sitting there watching that, and I don't know if you're going to agree with what I'm going to say, but I think the economic bailout is an experiment with socialism.
Of course it is. Of course it is. Republicans believe in socialism for the super rich. They believe that if you are, and these aren't people making $250,000, I said, these are people making $250 million. If you are a CEO of a major American corporation, the way it works is this. You take a bunch of risk. If you succeed, you make a ton of money. If you fail, you still make a ton of money. It's called a golden parachute. My most famous example is Michael Eisner. A Disney stock went down 40%, and the guy still walked away with $200 million. You know, me, I could ruin a company for only $1 million. But when these corporate execs play with money and they fail, they get bailed out. You know, one of the things I like about what thought about these credit derivative swaps, and we're going to talk a lot about the economy in the next 2 hours. I hope you'll stick around for that. But these are very complex instruments. I remember actually 3-4 years ago, I remember thinking, you know what? We are in hock up to our ears to Saudi Arabia and to China. But what are we selling them? We're selling them a bunch of subprime mortgages. Well, if they're stupid enough to buy that stuff, then great, great. They'll buy it. It won't work. And we'll get some of our country back. But now we're bailing out the stupid investors while the police officer and the teacher and people like Dan from Pennsylvania, who doesn't care about his own interests, they're the ones that are suffering. And I don't mind when Barack Obama says, you know what, wealth should be shared. It shouldn't only be the super rich that can make it in America. I believe in the American dream. Thanks very much for your call.
Can I ask you one quick question?
Real quick, and then I got to go to break. Go ahead.
What do you think of a flat tax? Would that not be fair? If you made $30,000 and they took 10%, you'd pay $3,000. And if you made $30 million, they would take...
I'll tell you, it's a very complex answer. You know what? Let me go to a break, and I'll answer your question after the break. How's that? Because it's a long answer. I can't answer it in 10 seconds. The toll-free number is 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. And I'll give you my view on the flat tax when we come back after this.
Leslie Marshall, real people, real life, real talk. 888-6-LESLIE.
You look worried.
My doctor said I'm going to get serious about my blood pressure.
So did mine. He recommended Amil BP.
The naturally derived ingredient in Amil BP has been clinically shown to help maintain healthy blood pressure. Amil BP is safe and has no side effects.
I take Amil BP every day.
Oh, like vitamins.
Exactly.
Maintain healthy blood pressure with Amil BP. Available at Walgreens, CVS, and other retailers near you.
And now for the bonus round. Three guys walk into a restaurant. Who brought the monkey?
Guy number two.
Correct. When it's not daylight savings, what is being spent?
Yen.
Correct. How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
Over 1 billion.
Correct. Netflix. Over 1 billion movies delivered so far. Zero late fees. Choose your movies online and have DVDs delivered to your door in about one business day. Start your free trial and get unlimited movie rentals. Netflix. See terms of use.
Hey, Ted, there's some guy with a guitar standing behind your ATV.
I know. Hit it, Larry.
Open roads, stretching forever. Me and my best friend gonna have some fun.
What was that?
Oh, that's my folk singer. I saved so much money on my ATV insurance by switching to Geico, I was able to get this guy to play songs for us all day.
Saving you money on your ATV insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. Geico Power Sports. Insurance for all the things that move you.
Real stories from real women about Gold Bond Ultimate Restoring Lotion. Joan from Boston writes,
my little nephew asked why my skin didn't fit right. Ouch.
Introducing Gold Bond Ultimate Restoring Body Lotion for skin that feels amazing.
And actually looks younger.
Seven nourishing moisturizers, vitamins A, C, and E, plus CoQ10 help restore dry, depleted skin.
Now he says I look as young as his mom. All right.
Can your lotion do that? Gold Bond Ultimate Restoring Lotion.
This stuff really works.
Here are some of the rules that apply to all WWKB contests, unless the specific contest rules are different. For complete rules, go to KB1520.com or stop by our studios. No purchase necessary. Must be a legal New York State resident, 18 or older. Employees of Entercom, sponsors, affiliated companies, other Buffalo area radio stations, their immediate family, and household members are not eligible. One winner per family and household per contest. Can only win once every 30 days or 6 months if prize one is worth $600 or more. On-site entries and mail-in entries while supplies last must be received by the announced deadline, must be handwritten, legible, and include all required information. One entry per envelope. For call-in contests, call the designated phone number. Criteria for winning will be announced. For online contests, criteria for winning will be announced on air or online. Do not rely on delayed online broadcasts. Robotic entry prohibited. When required, club membership is free. One membership per person and per email address. Club member contest entry may be automatic. Requires submitting a specific entry by redemption of points or other means. By joining WWKB's online club, you agree to the terms, conditions, and privacy policy. Not responsible for later lost mail, technical failures, or errors. Decisions of WWKB management are final. Prizes may be subject to restrictions. Winners may be required to present state photo ID, social security number, and sign a liability release. Failure may result in forfeiture. Prizes must be claimed within 30 days. Winner responsible for all taxes. WWKB can substitute with prize of equal or greater value. Prizes not transferable or redeemable for cash. Entry constitutes consent to use your name, voice, and likeness for any advertising or promotional purpose. WWKB may stop or suspend any contest or change these rules at any time, void where prohibited.
Market ups and downs got you nervous? For decades, the Dollar Doctors have taken a supply and demand approach to the market that helps toward unemotional decisions. Let their expertise lead you to a better understanding of what really moves the market. Get your specific questions answered by calling the Dollar Doctors every Saturday morning on WWKB from 10 to 11 a.m. or hear the rerun Saturday nights at midnight. Those times for the Dollar Doctors, 10 a.m. and 12 midnight, Saturdays on 1520 WWKB.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall. I am a proud ex-government attorney. I guess that makes me not real in the universe of John McCain and Sarah Palin. I guess those that work for government, in their view, are not patriotic, which is kind of funny because I gave up a lucrative career as a trial lawyer to serve working as a lawyer in Congress. And now, yeah, now I do talk radio to convince people to help support ideas that I think help America. I think I'm as patriotic as anybody, but they don't think so. I want to wrap up, answer the question that Dan asked you about the flat tax. We could have a whole show on this, so understand, Dan, and everyone else listening, that I can't give a full explanation in a minute or two, but I'll try just to briefly say that, first of all, people have all kinds of different ideas on what a flat tax is. Are you going to get rid of corporate taxes? Are you going to get rid of, estate taxes or Social Security taxes and everything? People, a lot of people that claim to support the flat tax sell you snake oil and claim it can be 17 or 20%. That's not true. If you get rid of all the other taxes, it's going to be about 40 or 50% flat tax in order to pay for all that we need to pay for. But in general, I don't support a flat tax. I do support getting rid of a lot of loopholes, particularly those loopholes that do things like favor companies that take companies to take workers abroad and jobs abroad. But the problem with the flat tax, in essence, is I support a progressive tax because I think if you're making $10,000 a year, that you need every last dime, because if you got three or four kids and you're making minimum wage, you need to feed them. And at this point, without Barack Obama, you need to pay for their health care. And you're struggling just to survive. And $1,000 for someone that makes $10,000 a year is a lot harder. Or $5,000, because the flat tax would have to be 50%. $5,000 to pay half your income if you make $10,000 a year is much, much harder than to pay half your income if you make $100 million a year. If you make $100 million a year and you only make $50 million, what's the difference? What's the difference? You still have the same money. So no, I do not support a flat tax. I think that people who make a lot of money can afford to give back a little bit more. And I don't mind asking them to do that. You know, we ask our veterans. Dan mentioned he was a veteran. We ask our veterans to give a bit more. We don't have a draft these days. Some men and women sacrifice themselves for their countries, for their country, and do so in a very real way. They risk their lives. It's not just people in the service, it's also police officers. And I recognize that. Some people help their country by making a lot of money and paying more in taxes. Some people help their country by being teachers. Some people help their country and the world by being in the Peace Corps. There are lots of ways to help your country. And just like I don't mind when a little old lady standing 5 feet tall asks a guy 6'4" to reach something from the top shelf in the grocery for her because he can, I don't mind saying to somebody I don't mind saying to somebody that, hey, you know, you make a lot of money, you should give a little bit more. When did we become the country of selfishness? I mean, John F. Kennedy famously said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. But for the last 8 years, maybe longer, we have become the country of what can our country do for us? And that's okay to some extent. I understand that people are, you know, are voting based in part on self-interest. I get that. But what happened to larger ideas? What happened to the idea of us all helping? When September 11th happened, I remember that day. I was working in a House Congressional Office building that day. I was connected, in fact, to the Capitol, where the fourth plane that landed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, might well have been targeted. I remember that day. I remember being quite heavily resolved to get the terrorists, to defend America. I remember Americans standing in line to give blood. They gave so much blood that they couldn't even use it all because they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how they could help. And George W. Bush said, you know what we need to do? You need to go out and shop. Just shop. Ignore the crisis. Just go out and shop. When Americans were trying to bond together. I remember people in the Capitol, Democrats and Republicans, singing on the steps. It was a very moving moment, singing God Bless America. I remember us working together. And in fact, I was there working to do the first version of what became the Patriot Act. I worked on that. I wrote part of it. And that version, I'm very proud to say, protected people's civil liberties at the same time as it gave us the tools to fight terrorism. And I'm extremely proud to say that it passed the House Judiciary Committee unanimously. That's right. Maxine Waters, as far left as you can think of, and Lamar Smith, as far right as you can think of, right? Right-wing Republican conservative Lamar Smith of Texas and left-wing liberal Democrat Maxine Waters of California agreed, and so did everybody else. It passed unanimously. Democrats and Republicans were working together to help our country, to fight the terrorists, to protect American civil liberties. And what happened? What happened? The Bush administration decided on an hour's notice to throw that carefully worded compromise in the toilet and to give us what later became the Patriot Act. And to me, that is the problem. It's not that Republicans are un-American. I think Republicans are very pro-American and patriotic. But the people running the Republican Party, the people running George Bush, the people running John McCain, the Karl Roves of this world, are trying to divide us. That's why we have the Swift Boats. That's why we have the division to red and blue. That's why we have Sarah Palin saying that some Americans aren't pro-American. Why can't we work together? Please answer that for me. Toll-free number, 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Back all next hour after this.